It is Locked On Jazz for the 13th of August. The schedule, we'll look at it. We'll dig deep. We'll do as only we do on Locked On Jazz. And then David James, everybody's buddy, joins us for the weekly interview series, a deep dive on Donovan Mitchell today. It's all coming up on Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Give me insight, expertise, geeky numbers about the Utah Jazz. You can get it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or you can tell your smart speaker to play the podcast, Locked On Jazz. How are you? Hope everybody had a great weekend. I had a birthday. Thank you all. I really kind of just took a day. I worked out as much as I possibly could to prove I'm not old, and now I can't move today. So I guess that didn't really work out that well. I did take kind of some reflection on that and just really incredibly thankful to the amazing life that I live, the family that I have, my wife, my kids, my friends, and then all of you that just allow me to live a life with just passion filled every day, doing what I love and hopefully bringing you information you like. So thank you very much. Summer interview series. David James, longtime, really close friend of mine and great morning show host and good basketball mind. So he always interviews me, so I thought I'd interview him. Craig Bowlerjack was last week. Tony Jones was the week before that, so if you did not catch those, please go back and listen. The numbers have been good, so hopefully you're enjoying the summer interview series. We'll continue it for a while. Since the numbers are good, it seems like you guys are liking it. I think you've heard everything you have out of me. All right, let's get to the schedule. Let's just kind of over the overview of the schedule is really tough start, really easy finish. Like, that's really the kind of crux of it. I made the comment, my dad pointed out to me when talking to him last night about how individual home games are almost road games. And if you look at the Jazz, they play a weird four-game stretch right out of the chute where we go to Houston, sit around for 2 days, play New Orleans, play a back-to-back with Dallas, sit around for 2 days, play Minnesota. We come home, we play Friday in Memphis and a back-to-back in Denver on Saturday, back home on that Monday against Toronto. Then we're home for a week. Then we go to a Memphis, Dallas, Philadelphia, Boston, Indiana, which I'll give the NBA credit. That's at least you're kind of heading out and circling back on your way. But we come back for one game again against Sacramento and then go to play the Lakers in Sacramento on the road before coming home for one game again and then heading out to Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Miami. And then this time I won't give the NBA credit because we're stuck all the way in Miami and fly all the way back before playing home again. So the stretch between the opening stretch to December 2nd is brutal. Now, maybe that'll be all right because, you know, we've been together for a while. We know how to play shortened training camps. Other teams aren't there. But fatigue is still going to be an issue early in the year for this team. Now, it mellows a great deal. We then play five road games from December 4th all the way till the end of the month. One of those is the Mexico City trip. The others are quick back-to-back to San Antonio and Oklahoma. And then there's a nice stretch. I mean, if we get a late ski season this year, this is an incredible schedule, let's be honest. Then, you know, January we play three games on the road the entire after we get back from our early trip in February. And then we close from March, kind of March 8th on, we play 16 games and probably are favored in all but one or two. Unless we're suddenly not favored against Oklahoma City at home. So we should be favored in just about every game but one or two or three in March. So that's the crux of the schedule, is if we can survive early, the home stretch, hopefully healthy, should be pretty fabulous. Quinn Snyder's teams have always finished very, very well. 14 back-to-backs, two of them without travel. Longest road trip is 8 days, five games, which is that November 12th to the 19th. And then the killer on that is that we come home for one and go back out for two. So really from November 12th to November 25th, I think I looked at, we're home for dinner one night. And that can just wear you out. But it's early, and hopefully his team continues to get along and has that camaraderie and all of those kind of things. The fresh versus tired score. So in other words, fresh is we did not play the day before and the opponent did. That happens 10 times. We're tired where we play the day before and the opponent did not. That happens 10 times. So that's a pretty even fresh versus tired, exactly even along the way. We play home most often on Wednesdays. We play 9 home games on Wednesdays. We play 17 of our 41 home games on the road on the weekends, on a Friday or Saturday. Obviously, we don't play any on Sunday. So that's kind of good from a fan base. We have 9 family home evenings on Monday as well. So, you know, from a fan standpoint, I think the schedule breaks pretty terrifically. We open against Sacramento. We have that home opener against the Warriors, which is going to be insane. Some early tests. I mean, a road trip with Houston, New Orleans, and Minnesota right out of the chute, and a Dallas team that's probably a lot better than you'd think is a pretty darn good test. So there's no rest for the weary early. Hopefully we come out of training camp healthy. We have everybody, and we hit some sort of stride coming out of camp that other teams cannot, because we'll be starting the same starting five, have this if everyone's healthy, and we have the same group together. So that would be the hope of what this schedule yields. Some national television games, and it's better than it has been, but it looks pretty barren compared to when you look at some of the other teams in the league. That's just the reality of our market size. Toronto's felt this for a long time by just having a great team and being outside of North America. But it is better. I mean, we have ESPN early. Hayward comes back on the 9th of November. And it's interesting. That's a back-to-back for Boston. And I would be very surprised if Gordon's playing both ends of back-to-backs at that point. With the amount of talent Boston has, I don't know why they would stress him in that fashion early in the season, if there's any doubts left. And so I think there's a legitimate chance of whether or not Gordon Hayward actually plays in that game. So that's basically my schedule breakdown for you. Nothing, I don't have anything to. I wrote a whole thing up at lockedonjazz.net if you want more. I don't want to bore you with it. My wife, I did this a few years ago on a show, and my wife was listening, and she was like, "That's the worst thing I've ever heard." So I'm trying not to do that to you today, if that's possible. David James is coming up. We're going to talk about the Donovan phenomena, who we think he's like in the NBA, in the sports world. I've got my comp of who he remembers, whether or not he can maintain this zealousness that he has every day. We'll talk all about that coming up with David James, Channel 2, 1280 The Zone Morning Show. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. I'm driving the Colorado truck right now. And if you're in the market for a truck, you've got, well, Chevy's got the best lineup of trucks. Chevy's got the incredible, every single type of truck from the King Cab, the Silverado, the Colorado covered. I've got the diesel Colorado right now and really, really enjoying it. Chevy's got that amazing lineup. The Silverado's the, you know, the kingpin. It's the comfortable sit back, lazy boy chair, awesome, boom, big man's truck. Great power, but the Colorado is really something special. If you dig in a little bit on the Colorado numbers, you're going to be surprised on what you can get for the price, as well as when you compare it to the Toyota and the Dodge and all the others, you'll see that Colorado has more pull, better pricing, better features, has a great safety feature. If it thinks you're coming up too fast in a car, puts a big red light right in front of you. Helped me out the other day. In August, they're doing a birthday celebration at Murdoch, so you get oil changes and brakes for life. And if you buy a brand new Chevy, you get 2 season ticket passes to Solitude Mountain Resort. In fact, if you do that, let me know. We'll take a run at Solitude. I love Solitude. So that's all going on. Plus, you get the Murdoch regular guarantee, which is car washes for life, safety inspection for life, 5-day exchange policy, price match guarantee. Find new roads at Murdoch Chevy and Logan and Woods Cross. Get started at MurdochChev.com. Our weekly interview series continues. Hopefully you caught Tony Jones, Salt Lake Tribune, in the first week of August. Last week, Craig Bowlerjack, nice enough to join us. And this week, a guy who's been in the marketplace for a long, long time. I actually call him a good friend, trusted ally. He is David James. Morning show on 1280 The Zone. TV anchor on KUTV. DJ, how the heck are you?
Good. I'm finally over you heartlessly lowballing me when you hired me as a radio guy. Got my foot in the door. You left that part out in that big buildup.
Hey, you know, there's a lot of you that seem to have that story, which tells you either one of two things. My general manager at the time did a good job of making me believe we had no money. Two, we had no money. Or three, all of you have made so much damn money. Since I hired you for no money, you should just say thank you instead of picking on me.
That's not how guys work. You know that.
Right. All three of those, maybe D, all of the above, might be a somewhat accurate comment to that.
Yeah, that's true. It's
all right, so
true.
For those who don't know, have just kind of grown up in this marketplace and known you've been on the air, you came when?
August of 92.
August of 92. So we go back a ways, and that's the perspective in which I want to get your thoughts on the Donovan phenomena. What has he struck? And is there any of it that's unique to Utah, or is it simply what he would be because he's Donovan?
Some of it's unique to Utah, and some of it was his timing. You know, so some of it's us, some of it's timing, most of it's him. I think he'd be a good athlete anywhere he went. I think he'd be popular and charismatic anywhere he went. That's him. The fact is, we don't have the NFL here. We don't have Major League Baseball here. So the Jazz become a big deal, I think, in a way that you can't be you can't be the sole focus. I mean, as good as Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are, there's still the Niners, there's still the Giants, there's still the A's. For a while, there'll be the Raiders. And, you know, they all have their fans. So you get the spotlight for a while, but you don't own it in that unique way for 12 months. And certainly we crave it because we know other states are laughing at us, and it bothers us. We don't understand why Alabama and Mississippi and West Virginia are laughing at us, but we know they are. You too, Arkansas. We don't understand it. So there's an extra maybe little thirst here that doesn't exist, and it's not split between multiple teams. And then on top of it, there's the timing. Everybody here felt rejected. Like, well, everyone's strong, but a lot of people here felt rejected by Gordon Hayward. And to step in and fill that gap immediately, I mean, literally, Gordon left as Donovan started playing Summer League. I mean, it was just seamless. And so to get rejection from a guy who is a max guy and is going to a glamour franchise and has been here for 7 years and is now scoring 20 points a game, to get rejected by him and all of a sudden have Donovan show up and put the arms around the community – you know, it's just everything fell together to blow up the way it did.
Is there anything that concerns you about it?
Yeah, it's too good to be true. Life's a roller coaster. It isn't all e-ticket rides. You have to stand in the line. You have to walk across the park and the pavement on a hot 100-degree day. His public persona and the portions of his private stuff that I know, which admittedly is very small, and I'm not seeking it out, but some people interact with them that told me stuff. It's so good. It's so good. And, you know, we're all flawed. None of us are perfect. So at some point, he's going to be not perfect, and people are going to be horribly disappointed. It has to happen because he's human.
You know,
I assume.
Bowler and I told the story on the last podcast about the day he was sick flying out of San Antonio, so they put him on the back of the plane because they would rather get the broadcasters sick than they would the players, understandably.
Right.
And he's sitting back there. He's sick. He feels awful. He's really just probably worn out, right? Like, as much as anything, that's probably what it is. And what happens, but he says, hey, wait, am I in somebody's seat? Is somebody, like, he's worried about the fact that he's making somebody else uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Some of these things, I think, are at his core. Now, does something break his core? The question I had when I watched him in Summer League a year ago was, is there a way he loses the zest by which he plays with? And so now that gets to the question is, who have we had in sport, not just basketball and not just Utah, that's in any way similar to him that we can look at and wonder if that does get worn away?
Yeah, there's a few. He's a mix of a few people. I mean, the basketball comparison is Stockton, you know, very good player. People really loved him.
But
Stockton did not even remotely enjoy the public interaction.
Right.
I mean, they're polar opposites when it comes to public interaction.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't see the Stockton comparison at all. I have one. I was just trying to not I want your thoughts.
Oh, because if you have
one.
I think the Stockton comparison is they're both very good players. And the, for all John, you know, not wanting to interact with the public, a big chunk of the public still just idolized him and loved the guy. And a big chunk of the public idolizes and loves Donovan.
So I think he's Ken Griffey Jr.
Okay.
Remember Jr. when he breaks in and he's got his hat on backwards and there's just this kind of love of the game that makes him completely infectious to the way he plays and what he does, and you just can't get enough of Ken Griffey Jr. And by the end, he's demanding to be traded. He's unhappy. Behind the scenes, he's pretty grumpy. And the Mariners actually decide A-Rod instead of Griffey a little bit. Like, he lost that zest. And there's some similar elements that, you know, he was raised by a major league player, which isn't quite the same.
Yep.
But so I think Griffey is the guy, and he did lose the zest.
Yeah, and I think that there is a real danger in the fact that, you know, will he end up getting loved to death here? You know, at some point, you need downtime, you need to be away from people, you need to recharge. That's normal. He doesn't seem to. He just seems to embrace it nonstop. And I just wonder if just the adulation and just everybody wanting a piece of him is going to wear him out at some point.
What do you think he is as a player this year?
Interesting question, because the huge unknown is we don't know how much he improves in the off season, and we don't know exactly what he's working on. I mean, I think he's better because the player he was the last 2 to 3 months is much better than the player he was the first 2 to 3 months. So that guy who finished the season over those last, whatever, you probably got the numbers, 20, 30, 40 games, you know, he didn't have 80 games at that level. He's going to have 80 games. So that alone is going to be an improvement. Now, does he end up shooting the three better? Does he end up being going to the free throw line more because he's driving more and seeking contact, and because now he has a rep and gets some respect, and you know that 50-50 call that he didn't get last year, maybe he gets now. If he starts shooting more free throws, you know, his scoring average, you know, could go up. He's going to be marked. Defenses are going to be prepping for him, but I think he's ready to handle that. It surprised me how good he was in the playoffs, because just by the nature of the playoffs, you know, playing 6 games in 2 weeks against the Thunder, you know they're honing in on him. He's hurting them. And so, but he didn't really have that, you know, 2-for-18, 6-point clunker that, you know, a lot of rookies are going to have. So I think even with defenses focusing on him now, he's going to be able to handle that.
What he did in April is what jumps out to me. He had his highest effective field goal percentage other than December. He went bananas in December. Then every scouting report got to him. Then his effective field goal percentage in January was 52, and February was 49. It's slipped a little bit in March, and then he popped it back up to 52, which I thought was really interesting. I thought that was a telltale sign. The other thing is, he just, you know, his above the break 3-point shooting was not good in the second half of the season, and that's got to get better. And suddenly you start thinking about that getting better, and he makes one or two more of those a night, and now he's 25 points a game. And I don't think that's an outlandish thing at all, particularly considering, you know, what he averaged in the last half of the season.
Okay, two things. Number one, it absolutely is outlandish for many, many very good NBA players. Two, it might not be outlandish for him. And I've been trying to figure that out. As a 20-point-a-game guy, you add in a free throw, or excuse me, add in a three-pointer, you add in a couple free throws, and like 22, 24, 26, 28 points a night. Where are we going here with this guy? You know, where is it headed? At what point do defenses overload on him even more, and he just has to become a distributor and not shoot as much? Because he can get his teammates such easy shots. So at some point, there may be some diminishing returns there in terms of scoring, but not diminishing returns in terms of the team and, you know, winning, but maybe his individual stats.
David James, 1280 The Zone every morning, KUTV, doing the sports, comes back with us to talk player comps on Donovan Mitchell, and then more Jazz talk as we continue on Locked On Jazz here on the Locked On Podcast Network. More with DJ coming up. Today's show brought to you in part by Intercap Lending. Congratulations, Locked On Jazz. Congratulations to Intercap. You guys have done it again. So Intercap Lending started their time with us a year ago. They had two branches. Their 40-year-old mortgage company, really lending company that had come to Utah. They now have 11 branches in Utah. Great support from all of you guys for them. Absolutely amazing. And Intercap just continues to grow. Why? Because they have amazing relationships. Real estate agents, what do they want? They want deals to close, so they're bringing people to Intercap, and that's the growth because Intercap gets it done. In fact, if your real estate agent is not sending you to Intercap, check on why and look in to see what the reason is. If you do your lending with Intercap, call Steve Carter at 385-800-8528, 385-800-8528. That's who we used. They did an incredible job for us. I can tell you it was harmless and a process that I usually hate and don't get done, and Steve Carter walked us through it. It's a great example of them just getting things done. 385-800-8528. Tell them you're with Locked On Jazz. They'll give you the corporate rate, treating us like a corporation. They are an independent loan agency. So we still actually have our loan with Intercap Lending. They haven't sold it off. But that allows them no additional requirements, no overlays. They get difficult loans done. You might have multiple properties, a lot of different things going on. So give Intercap a call, 385-800-8528. That's Steve Carter, 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. DJ, when you look at Donovan as a player, 6'5", 211 pound, incredibly strong. Not really a one, not really a two, just a scorer. Who's your player comp?
I don't know that there's a perfect one. There's, the one I think everyone will want to compare him to just to see how close he can get. And I wouldn't think it would be 100% even, although Jazz fans wish it would be. Steph Curry.
Wow.
Not a pure one, not a pure two. Undersized versus a lot of defenders. You know, I think the question is, can you be 70% of Steph Curry? Can you be 80% of Steph Curry? Can you be 90% of Steph Curry? Do you ever get to 100% of Steph Curry? Holy cow. But as far as size and what they're going to face defensively, I think he's going to face a lot of the same challenges. He'll have a chance to play with the ball. He'll have a chance to play without the ball, much as Steph Curry does. He'll be 6'3". You know he's going to face, you know, depending on the team, their best defender might be 6'6", might be 6'8". He's going to have to learn to deal with it, just like Steph Curry's had to learn to deal with it. So I think that's a comparison, not because he's going to be that good, but because they're going to face a lot of the challenges, and it's just, all right, how close can you be to being that good and handle it the way Steph has handled it? Obviously Curry's range is just phenomenal, and we haven't seen that from Donovan, but it's what I told you in the first segment here of doing this, is that we haven't seen him in the off season. We don't know what he's working on. We don't know how much he's going to progress in the off season. That's all kind of speculative, and I'm really curious to see this year. And then over time, you know, we'll see each year what he adds to his game. You know, we're looking at Steph Curry, and I have to go look at Steph's numbers, but I don't think he really blew up nationally until at least season 4 and maybe season 5 in the NBA. So when we say player comp, people automatically are going to think, okay, what did I just see Curry do? Well, and, you know, Curry's in his prime now. Let's back it up. And, okay, what did Curry do his first couple of years in the league? And obviously he had, you know, issues with his ankles, and that was a big part of, why he didn't develop immediately into a superstar. But, man, he got the ankles healthy, and he sure did. So, you know, how much of that can Donovan do? And, what can he add every offseason?
It's interesting. Remember, Monte Ellis had to be traded for him to go. The player that I actually compare him to a little bit different. I have one that a lot of people don't like, and I don't know why they don't like. And then I have another era player that you and I are both old enough to. But Sidney Moncrief is my old era player. It's before the three, but he was 6'3". He was 180. So I mean, Sidney Moncrief at the time was like this beast. Fifth pick of the 79 draft. I mean, this was a great, great player. Five-time All-Star, guys. Like, if you don't know who Sidney Moncrief is, two-time Defensive Player of the Year. He five-time All-NBA. Like, this is not an insult. This is a verging on Hall of Fame-level player. That's a body type. The player he reminds me of, and actually I didn't do this, somebody else gave this to me, is much smarter than I am, is Allen Iverson.
Well, okay, so two things. One, I love Sidney Moncrief. The era I fell in love with the NCAA basketball tournament was when Sidney Moncrief was at Arkansas. And so I love Sidney Moncrief. He was really good. You're right. That's not an insult. But the league has changed so much, and the sport's changed so much since then. You know, in that era, 6'3", he had some size advantages some nights.
Right.
You know, in that era, there'd be a 6-foot guard and a 6'2 guard, and, you know, that could be a normal-sized backcourt. And the league is just so much bigger now, and the three-point shot. But I love Sidney Moncrief, and I love you brought him up. I'm sorry, what was the other comp? Oh, Allen Iverson.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one everybody went with was Dwayne Wade, but I think he shoots the three so much more. But both Dwayne Wade and Allen Iverson led the league in scoring and scored 30 points a game.
Yeah, I'm just not convinced Donovan's going to do it. I think he might be able to, but it'll depend on when he gets to that level. And I don't know if that'll be in a year or two or three where he has the game to do it, what his team will look like. You know, because like if he gets there, if he takes a big step this offseason, right, and so he's shooting the three much better and he's going to the rim much better so he's getting more free throws, man, then maybe 30 points is suddenly in play, and if not, 27 or 28. If Joe Ingles is still on the team and still in his prime when this happens, you know, for instance, if he took this enormous step forward in the offseason, I think he'd start giving the ball up because defenses would be overplaying him like crazy. Everyone would be, you know, desperate to stop him, and he'd be hitting Joe, and now you got to pick the poison because Joe's, you know, just draining threes and shooting 44-45% from beyond the arc himself. But if it's a more gradual progression and it's his, you know, fifth or sixth year in the league when he's willing to do and he's able to do that, well, is Joe on the team? You know, how good a player is he at that point? If he's gone, who's replaced him? Because sometimes I think when guys go for 30, they have to force stuff, and they have to do it either because it's just their nature and they don't want to give up the ball, or because them giving up the ball isn't good for the team. You know, them taking a lower percentage shot is better than getting someone else a good shot because that guy just can't even make a good shot. I think Donovan's going to be too good a passer to end up being, you know, that kind of scorer. But he might have the game for it. I mean, he just really blew us all away with what he did his rookie year.
So we last year talked all the time, and one of the questions, you know, PK had asked all the time, you would too, frankly, is, you know, what about other scorers? Is there too much on him? Nothing's changed about this roster. Is the burden on him the exact same as it was?
Yeah, I think the burden is pretty similar. I think the one thing you can say, and this goes back, this is the advantage of, you know, being in the market forever. Jerry Sloan said this a million times. You need to let guys play together for 2, even 3 years. You know, the nature of the sport is guys have to recognize the situation. Their teammate has to see the situation at the same time, and they both have to know what comes next, what the defense is going to do then, and what the counter is to that. And it all just has to happen instantly. And so you just have to let guys play together. And you can just look at Stockton, Malone, Hornacek's, the arc of their success, and look at their regular season records and how much they improved, especially as other guys got integrated in. And, you know, Sloan's right. So I think that this team, without a change, that could be really good because these guys just need to play together. There are still a lot of details. And you know Quinn's going to coach him up. Quinn lives for that kind of stuff. I mean, that's like the air he breathes. You know, that's the basketball air. He's going to be working on those details, and it really does take time for everybody to recognize and react to these situations, and it just takes repetition. It takes more games together. So I think not having a lot of offseason change is a positive because there still ought to be some upside to this group. You know, the synergy inside the group as everyone gets better and everyone gets used to playing together.
He's the great David James. We'll have more with him as the week goes on. You can catch him every morning, 6 to 10 on 1280 The Zone. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks to DJ. Be sure to send DJ the thank you at DJ at David DJ James on Twitter. Big news on the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On NFL is now going to become Locked On NFL with experts. Matt Williams will be interviewing the biggest names in each week. Sage Rosenfeld's former NFL quarterback, who's great. Mike Sando, ESPN. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. So go subscribe, follow Locked On NFL for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and get your best NFL podcast on Locked On NFL.